I need my stick, and I read from the 17th chapter of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel and get from them rods, one from each of the father's house," that's the 12 tribes, "from all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 staffs, 12 rods. Write each man's name upon his rod." That means like the house of Levi and the house of Reuben and the house of Ephraim and so forth and so on. "Write each man's name upon his rod and write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi." That's the priesthood. "For there shall be one rod for the head of each of the father's house. Then you shall deposit them in the tent of meeting." That's where the Ark of the Covenant is. That's where the Ten Commandments are and the manna. "Then you shall deposit them in the tent of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And the rod of the man whom I choose shall sprout. Thus I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the people of Israel, which they murmur against me." Moses spoke to the people of Israel and all their leaders and gave him rods, one for each leader according to their father's house, 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses deposited the rods before the Lord in the tent of testimony. And on the morrow, Moses went into the tent of testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out the rods from before the Lord to all the people of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his rod. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign for the rebels, that you may make an end of their murmurings against me, lest they die." Thus did Moses as the Lord commanded him to do so. Holy Spirit, teach us what you want to teach us today. The rod of Aaron was just a staff. Okay, this is the best we can do. Okay? And the rod of Aaron blossomed. Now, it's a very interesting thing that something dead can bring forth life. That's a very interesting thing because it doesn't happen unless God does something. Now I want to tell you, you're the rod of Aaron. And maybe you feel just like the old rod of Aaron, one old piece of stick, one rod, one staff, dead as can be. But yet the scripture says that the rod of Aaron burst forth into life. The scripture says that the rod of Aaron burst forth into life, that from death came life. If you want to see the greatest blossom on a tree, you're going to see the tree at Calvary. The tree of Calvary blossomed like no other tree. It had been cut down, and it had been prepared for someone to die on it as a thief or a murderer. But the tree of Calvary on which Jesus died blossomed. It gave forth fruit, the fruit of life in Christ Jesus. It blossomed. We are the fruit of that tree. We come from that tree. That tree which had been cut down by somebody and prepared for execution for somebody becomes the tree of life, the tree that grows in the city of God by the river of God. It is the tree of life that has borne forth flowers and fruit for 2,000 years. Now, because of that tree, I ask you, can the dead branch that you seem to be live? Can that branch that you seem to be as dead as the staff of Aaron, can it bud? We remember the prophet Ezekiel being brought into the valley of dry bones, and God said to him, can these bones live? That's a very important question. And because Ezekiel was a priest, he knew how to get around things. He said, Lord, you know. But God never said, I know. God said to him, can these bones live? And I say to you, can your staff that you are sprout? Can your staff that you are bear fruit? Can your staff that you are bear almonds? Can your staff that you are make a difference in the world? Can it? If it is united to the tree of life, it will. If it is united to the tree of life, it will. You have not yet begun to serve the Lord. You have not yet begun to do for God what he has for you. You have not yet begun to serve the Lord and to do for God what he has for you. I'm speaking prophetically now. I'm not just saying words at this moment. We have not yet begun to do for God what he wants us to do for him in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it means that the dead must rise. It means that the rod must bear fruit. And in union with the cross, we can bear fruit. And our fruit will last if we stay united in the vine. All these things don't happen all at once. All these things don't happen all at once. We see in the scripture, we see Joseph having a dream. And his dream was that his staff would blossom. It was like this. Joseph's father was the sun. And Joseph's mother was the moon. And there were 11 sheaves of wheat that bowed down to Joseph. The sun and the moon and the 11 sheaves of wheat. The brothers became very, very upset. Who does this dreamer think that he is? That this punk thinks that God is going to raise us up to bow down before him? And as a matter of fact, our father has been so good to this punk. Who does he think he is? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let's get rid of the old boy. They were going to kill him first. But then Reuben said, being a good Jewish guy, or a good entrepreneur, you don't have to be Jewish, this is our brother. Let's sell him for some money. Let's not kill him. Let's get something out of it. I really think he was in earnest. And so they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And somehow he got into Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife was a pig. She was a pig. She wanted to seduce Joseph. And Joseph would not give in. And he ends up in jail. Where is your dream? The devil tells him. When the sun and the moon and the 11 sheaves of wheat bow down to you, who do you think you are? You will never blossom. You're dead. You end up in a pit. You're in a cell. This is what God thinks about you. But the scripture kept on saying in this passage, as you read the Joseph cycle, the Lord was with Joseph. 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 You know, I think Joseph is the only one. First of all, I don't think he ever prays, at least not in the scripture. We never hear him praying. We also never hear him complaining. He never complains once. He does not start saying, oh, you know, what about that dream? You know? I saw it all. It was in technicolor. It was so beautiful. But the Lord was with Joseph. And so the king has a dream. The Pharaoh has a dream. And Joseph is the interpreter of the dream. And Joseph becomes the governor. And then Joseph meets his 11 brothers and his father as they all bow down to him. It did not happen in a day. It did not happen in a week. It happened through the valley of the shadow of death. It happened through trial and tribulation. It happened through persecution. It happened in jail. It did not all happen at once. It happened, but not at once. And the Lord was with Joseph. And so it did happen. They all bowed down to him. And they came and they were set free from the famine that had hit Israel because the Lord was with Joseph. And the brothers are still afraid that Joseph is going to get even. And Joseph says this, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." How many things that have been thrown at us that the devil has meant for evil that God means for good? How many things in our life that has happened in our life, maybe even through sin, that the devil meant for evil, but God meant it for good? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. To those who love God and call to his purpose, all things work together for the good. To those who love God and are called to his purpose, all things work together for the good. All things mean all things. Father Bill was telling a story about him driving a car, and he said he looked down the street. There was a stop sign. Nobody was coming. It was to the left and to the right, and nobody was coming. Nobody was coming, so he did not stop at the stop sign. So he went through, but went through cautiously. And so a policeman stopped him. And the policeman said to him, "What does the sign say?" He said, "Well, you know, I looked and there was nobody coming, and as a result, I went through it. I went through it slowly." He said, "What does the sign say?" The sign says, "Stop." Then what do you do when you see a stop sign? You stop. You don't go through cautiously. You stop at the stop sign because that's what the stop sign says. The Lord says, to those who love God and are called to his purpose, all things work together for the good. Not some things, not a few things, not many things, but all things. All. What does all mean? What does all mean? All means everything. All means, all doesn't exclude one thing. All doesn't exclude one thing. So Joseph, you're being sold to the Ishmaelites, that's going to work for the good because you know what? You're a faithful man. Joseph, when that pig tried to seduce you, that's going to work for the good when you go to jail. You know why? Because God's going to work everything for good to those who love him. Joseph, when you're in jail, I'm going to tell you, God's going to work it for the good, even though you're going to be hungry and thirsty and you're going to smell. I'm going to work it for the good, Joseph, because you know what? To those who love God, all things work together for the good. Now, that's a mighty thing, but you know what? I didn't plan on going to jail. I didn't plan on being sold to the Ishmaelites. That wasn't part of the dream. I just saw the final curtain. I didn't see the first, second, and third act. I wasn't privileged to that. I just saw the ending. I didn't see how it would happen. Yeah, that's right. You didn't. And you know what? God holds that from us. Thanks be to God. You know why? Because we'd quit. We'd quit. If God showed us, we quit. We'd quit. But you know what? He does give us a vision. He does give us a vision, and he gives us a vision that, you know, what did we hear today in Isaiah 54? Lengthen your tent pegs, because you know what? The tent that holds you now isn't going to be big enough. Lengthen your tent pegs, because the tent that holds you now isn't going to be big enough. The one who cried that was barren is going to bear more children than the one who had babies. Come on now. That's my vision for you. That's my vision, that no weapon fashioned against you gonna prosper. Come on now. All things work together for the good to those who love God. All things mean all things. Stop sign means stop. All things means everything that you've ever been through, every rotten, miserable situation that you've ever been through, God's going to work it for the good because you love him. No matter what it is, no matter how hard it was, no matter how it still stinks, God's going to work it for the good. You want to know why? Because he promised. Because he promised. Because he promised. And when God promises something, you know what? You can stake your life on it. You can hang your life on it. God will fulfill his promise to the dotting of every I and the crossing of every T. You want to know why? Because he's not like us that he should lie. He's God. You have not yet begun to serve the Lord yet. God has purposes for each one of you and me that we have no idea of. But you know what? I will not tell you how you have to get to that place. I do not know what's going to happen in order for you to get to that place. And I'm going to tell you, many people who have been put in Joseph's situation have quit when they were in the pit. They quit when they were in the pit. Many people in Joseph's situation that God called, when the trials came and the winds blew and the rains came and the thunder came and it was hitting against the house, many people said, you know what? I'm not playing this game. I'm doing something else. I got something better to do. Got to endure. You've got to endure. You've got to go through it. You've got to endure. To those who love God, all things work together for the good. You've got to keep it up. You can't quit. You have to keep on pressing in, despite what's happening. What about Abraham, the poor bum? Just think about it. One day the Lord says to Abraham, we're going to take a walk together. In the middle of the night, come on out of your tent, we're going to walk together. And he says to Abraham, look up. And the stars in the sky were so numerous. He says, count them if you can. Your descendants will be more than the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. And Abraham's thinking, I've got an old girl in the tent. And I'm old. You gotta be kidding. Like, come on. Why didn't you come to me 50 years before? Maybe there would have been hope for this staff to blossom. Maybe there would have been hope for this staff to blossom if you came 50 years before. But now, I'm ancient, and she's ancient, and those days are gone. Abraham, look up and start counting. Your descendants will be as many as the sands of the sea and as many as the stars of the sky. That was the promise. Between promise and fulfillment, there's always trouble. You can mark your words. Between promise and fulfillment, there's always trouble. Ask David. David can tell you about trouble between promise and fulfillment. Yeah. But you know what? It's those who hang in and believe that to those who love God, all things work together for the good, and that all this, call it garbage, call it crap, call it whatever you want to call it, God's going to use it all. And he will fulfill his promise to the dotting of every I and the crossing of every T. So then we see Abraham. Baby's not coming. So you know what? Just like the rest of us, you know, what did she say to us today? That God factors in our what? Stupidity. Our stupidity God knows our stupidity, and when he looks at us, he's factored in our stupidity. So Abraham has stupidity. He says, Sarah's not going to produce. We're not having any kids with her. So I'm going to go to the slave woman, Hagar, and we're going to have a baby. God factors in our stupidity. That's where all the trouble started. And you know what? It's continued. It's continued. It's continued. Because you know what? Even though God factors in our stupidity, when we go our own way, we have to bear the consequences. And not only us, but the society. We're still bearing the consequences of Abraham going to Hagar. We still are. Because Abraham didn't believe that Sarah could have a baby. Hoping against hope. Calling those things to be that are not as if they are. Believing that God makes all things work together for the good to those who love him. Believing that the staff is going to blossom. And I look at this thing and I say, how can this thing blossom? Especially this thing represents my life. Because you know what? Listen. Look how brittle it is. When wood does stuff like that and it snaps, you want to know what? There's no life in it. It's dried up. How can this blossom? How can you blossom? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you're going to blossom. If you cling on to the cross, you're going to blossom. If you cling on to the tree of life, you're going to blossom. I tell you, that tree bore the best fruit. It blossomed. It's continuing to blossom today as people share the gospel and people proclaim Jesus Christ and people say, yes, I receive Jesus. I give him my life. That tree continues to blossom every time a person says yes to Jesus. That tree continues to blossom. It looked like an old dead tree that day that he was hung on. But it was the tree of life, and it still brings life to those who believe. And so they had a visitation. And the visitation was of three people. We call them three angels. They came to Abram's house, who's now Abraham. And Abraham sees them, and because they live in the Middle East, they believe in the law of hospitality. Oh, yeah, hospitality. Sarah, go make them something. Go get a heifer and come on, bake some bread. We've got some visitors. The poor bum did nothing. She had to do it all. What happens? What happens next? They tell Abraham, we're coming back next year and you're going to have a baby boy by Sarah. And Sarah is not only cooking, but Sarah is listening. She's nosy. And she hears it and she begins to laugh. And they said, why are you laughing? And she said, I didn't laugh. And they said, you laughed. And when they came back the next year, they had a baby boy, and they call his name Isaac, which means laughter. Can God make out of a dead staff something that'll blossom? You bet he can. If we're hooked into the cross, if our life comes from the crucified, can God take those things that are not and make them into something that are? You bet he can. You want to know why? Because he's God. And to those who love him, all things work together for the good. And I'm going to say it again. You have not even yet begun to serve the Lord. You have not yet come into what God has for you. Some of you think it's all over. No, I'm saying it hasn't even begun. Not only for you, but for me. The best is yet to come by the grace of the living God. The best is yet to come by the grace of the living God. The best is yet to come by the grace of the living God. Can this staff, which seems dead, bear fruit, blossom? You bet it can. You want to go to other people? Oh, there are so many other people. There's Elizabeth and Zechariah. The scripture says she had stopped having her period. So you know what? After that happens for a long time, you stop praying. They stop praying. Elizabeth and Zechariah stop praying for a baby. You know why? Because it was too late. They knew. We're not going to have any baby. They stopped praying. But you know what? What did the angel say when he came? Your prayer has come before the Most High God. What prayer? We stopped praying. The prayer you made a long time ago, it's still before God. And you know what? God's answering that prayer. Even though you stopped praying, even though she's beyond the year of childbearing, you want to know what? That prayer is ever before the throne of God. I want to tell you that prayer has its own life. Prayer has its own, it's always before the throne of God. Our prayer is ever before the throne of God. It's got its own life of its own. Even when you stop praying, our prayer is always before the throne of God. Even, you know, you've been praying for your son, you've been praying for your daughter, you've been praying for your husband, you've been praying for your wife, you've been praying for Mickey Mouse, whoever you're praying for. Our prayer is ever before the throne of God. It's got a life of its own. It's got a life of its own. That's what the angel said. Your prayer has reached the throne of God. You know, Zechariah being a priest, he wanted to say, but Gabriel, we stopped praying. And you know what he would have said? You're living in time. Prayer is in eternity. You're living in time. Prayer is in eternity. That's why we can call those things to be that are not as if they are. Because when we pray, we are not going to touch time. We're going to touch eternity. That's what's going to happen when we pray. We're not going to touch time. We're going to touch eternity, and eternity is going to come into time. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why we can call those things to be that are not as if they are. That's why we can say in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed by the power of the blood, because we can touch those things that are not as if they are and call from heaven those things that are not as if they are. We do it every day at Mass. We do it every day at Mass. The church does it every day at Mass. How can we believe that? That bread becomes the body of Christ. Calling those things that are not as if they are. It's just bread. It's just wine. That's all it is. Calling those things to be that are not as if they are. And as if they are because in the name of Jesus Christ, this is my what? This is my body. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, this is my what? This is my blood. Calling those things to be that are not as if they are. And what do they become? They become the very body and blood of Christ. How can we believe that that is the body of Christ and we don't believe that people get healed? Is that not the same faith? It's got to be the same faith. You see, we rely on the faith of the church of saying this is what the church teaches us. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus teaches us. Hallelujah. This is his body. Hallelujah. This is his blood. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? But you want to know what? When it comes to praying for the sick, it's the same spirit. It's the same God calling those things to be that are not as if they are. That the word of God is like rain and snow coming down from heaven as they water the earth. They bring forth fruit and they don't return void. Because we do not touch time, we touch eternity. When we pray for the sick, we're not touching time, we're touching eternity. The eternal tree of God that he died for our sins and our sicknesses on the cross. He bore your wounds and carried your infirmities. He bore my wounds and carried my infirmities on the cross. He took my sins and my sicknesses on the cross. It all takes place on the tree of life. That tree of life bore fruit and blossoms every one time someone says, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'm yours. Today there's a Muslim someplace that someone preached to that said yes to Jesus, and that tree blossoms again. This Muslim can lose his life if he or she lets people know that he belongs to Jesus Christ. Maria Vadia, when they went to one of the Muslim countries in Africa, they had a Muslim convert. Immediately, you know, he came to Jesus, the priest baptized him, confirmed him. Had a tremendous experience of Jesus. If his family ever finds out, you know what they'll do to him? They'll kill him. That tree blossomed, the tree of life, the cross, when that man said yes to Jesus. So Elizabeth and Zechariah, what happens? They have a baby. She can't have a baby. Calling those things to be that are not as if they are. You want to go further? You go to Lazarus. Lazarus, like, Lazarus is beyond Sarah. Lazarus is beyond Elizabeth because Lazarus is dead. And the worms already have him. What does Jesus say? This is for the glory of God. Where have you laid him? Show me. This is nuts. This is crazy. This is beyond the beyonds. At least the woman that was carrying her son to be buried, he just died. His flesh was still warm. He was her only son at Nahum. He was the only kid they had. His body was still warm. They always bury before sunset. He was wrapped up. There was hope for him. He was just dead a few hours. But Lazarus? 4 days in the hot, hot climate of Israel. Why did Jesus rise on the third day? He rose at the last moment, because if one more moment elapsed, he would have begun to corrupt. And Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." And he wept. My God, did he weep? He groaned from heaven. He groaned. Calling those things to be that are not as if they are. Lazarus, come out! Calling those things to be that are not as if they are. And the dead man came out wrapped in grave clothes. My God. Couldn't you just see it? Everybody's mouth is open. What would you have asked Lazarus if you were there? Where were you? What were you doing? Where have you been? The scripture said that many people came out not only to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus. That's what the scripture says in the 11th chapter of St. John. They came out not only to hear Jesus, but to see Lazarus. Where were you? Can this staff bear fruit? I tell you. It not only can, it will. It will bear fruit. And you haven't yet begun to serve the Lord. You know why? Because he's got things for you that you have no idea. To touch people, to change people, because the world's gone nuts. But you've got to continue to hang in there, and I've got to continue to hang in there, because you know what? Every obstacle will come against you to quit, to fall back and to become less zealous and to become less hot and more lukewarm. Every obstacle will come to you to make you more lukewarm. And we have to remember about the lukewarm what Jesus said. Be either hot or cold, but not lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. How many people have started off so hot and now they're nothing but lukewarm? They just, you know, even their preaching, oh yeah, everything is fine, everything is well, it's all good. No. No, everything isn't fine. You know why? Because we don't live by faith. That's why it's not fine. Do you want to know what sin is according to the Bible? Sin according to the Bible is anything that is not of faith is sin. It's not adultery. It's anything not of faith is sin. When you go against faith, so when you commit adultery, you're going against faith. You're going against God. You go against faith. Anything that's not faith is sin. My friends, I'm going to tell you, how many of us live by faith? How many of us live by faith? Does the church live by faith? Does my parish live by faith? Do I live by faith? It's the only thing that pleases God, because without faith, it's totally impossible to please God. You can do anything you want, but if you don't do it in faith, it's not going to please God, no matter what it is. No matter what your action is, it's got to be done in faith. When Eleanor goes to the abortion mill, she goes with different experiences, but she goes because she believes. She believes that no matter what she says, God's going to plant words in people's heads, even if they don't turn around. She believes that because she's walking by faith. Sometimes she tells me the stories, and I say, oh, brother, she really believes that. But you know what? She's right. She's right, absolutely right, that when she's there and she's an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, while she's there, she says words and you don't know what it's going to do to people. You have no idea what the words are going to do to people, even if they go and have their babies killed. Because she's there in faith. And when you're in faith, faith produces a harvest. When you do things in faith, it produces a harvest. And, you know, we don't want to live by faith. We want to live by what we see. And you know what? That's exactly what the church is reaping today, by what we see. The more you see and the less you believe, the less that happens in God's family, in God's house. I'll tell you when things begin to happen in God's house, in God's family. When you've got nothing else but Him. When everything else dries up. When all the money we got on the churches and we're going to get from the hospitals, $990 billion or $1 million they're going to get for all the hospitals. You know when things will start happening? When all that dries up and we have to depend upon God. Not upon the $999 million, almost $1 billion that we're going to get from all the hospitals that we're going to invest so that we can pay whatever we're paying for poor parishes. You know, it's all foolish. It's all foolish. That's what you call living by sight, not living by faith. You want to know what would please God? Get that $999 million and give it to Haiti and watch God do something for the diocese. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to prophesy about that money. It's going to go right through a strainer, like my macaroni and water goes through the strainer. You keep the macaroni, and the water goes out. We call it scola pasta, scola macaroni. It's this thing that scola is the pasta that takes all the water out. You know what's going to happen to that money? It's going to dry up. You want to know why? Because they're not living by faith. Same with me. Not only the diocese, anybody living by faith. That's the only way you please God. You don't please God any other way. God doesn't care about my bank account. Please. You know, I can preach about this kind of stuff all day. Because, again, we've been schooled by the world, all of us. The world has taught us all so well. Don't live by faith. Don't walk by faith. You walk with what you see, with what you have. You know, my poor mother used to say, someday you're going to learn. Someday you're going to learn. And you know what? It's come close. It's come close. You know, Ma, you were right. No, I don't want to learn. I still don't want to learn. I still don't want to learn. I don't want to learn. I don't want. Now she's rooting for me not to learn. Because she did the best she could. Trying to protect me. You can't protect people. Especially when you live by faith. Those who live by faith please God. And those who live by faith, they are the ones that go and do the exploits for God. God chooses that which is not to make something that is, so that all the praise would go to the Lord and not to us. That's why he chooses the unknowns. That's why he chooses the people that nobody else wants. That's God. God's not like us. He doesn't take a beauty contest and say, I'm going to choose that one because she's beautiful. Now, she may be beautiful, but that's not why he chooses. He chooses because they are in absolute need of God, and that their staff looks so dry that it's never going to blossom unless they believe and hold on to the promise that God gave. That's why he chooses people. He finds the driest staff, and he says, can this person blossom? You look and say, I don't think so. Well, if they stay in the school of faith and they walk with me, you're going to see things happen. They're going to blossom like Aaron's staff, and they're going to produce almonds. You know what God said to Jeremiah about the almond tree? It's another word for watch, if I remember correctly. That God watches over his word to fulfill what he has promised. And Joseph's dream was a reality, but only through trial, tribulation, lies, being sold by his brother, putting into a pit, left alone. But he hung in there, and the 11 sheaves of wheat all bowed down to Joseph. And the son who was the father, Jacob, bowed down to Joseph. And the moon, the mother, bowed down to Joseph. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm not after you people. I don't want to kill you people. You were instruments of God. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. I'm going to tell you, not only am I going to blossom, but we're moving to Goshen. That's where they moved. And we're all going to blossom. Because I'm not happy to be the only one that blossoms. I want my 11 brothers who really ripped me off to blossom. I want you to blossom. Because you know what? That's what it's all about. Blossoming, bearing fruit, even when you feel like an old, dead stick. Again, the cross is the tree of life. It was nothing but dead wood. But let me tell you, it continues to blossom and bear fruit every time someone says yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.